I have always loved Halloween. When I was a child and a teenager, Halloween came a close second to the Christmas season, a time suffused with possibility, even magic, when children and adolescents had freedom for one night to walk the streets, flirt with mischief, but stay just out of its reach. Halloween joined the frightening and the funny in a delicious proportion that made me so happy. And it still delights me. And I see it even richer in light of our Christian faith and our feasts. The costumes. My mother, when I was a child, who was an upstanding, gracious homemaker, as they called them in those days, with a flair for the dramatic, came to the door to greet the trick-or-treaters dressed as the Gorgon sister, Medusa. Her head covered with writhing, coiling snakes, so gross and horrifying, she nearly made the children turn to stone. And there was just enough frightening quality to my mother, so that the choice was highly effective. I treasure memories of the millions of Halloweens with our children, like the night Frank and his father got kicked out of the Cassis Elementary School haunted house where they were volunteering because they were scaring the kids too much. My youngest child, Henry, has been obsessed with his Halloween costume ever since he was a little boy at Cassis Elementary School, at Austin High, and at college. And now he's moved to Hollywood, where they really appreciate a good Halloween costume. This year on Friday night, he was Kurt Cobain. And on Saturday, from the Wes Anderson movie, Richie Tannenbaum. Check it out on Facebook. It's quite amazing. For many years, my favorite costume, which I stored in my closet and wore every few years, was the African cannibal princess. It was made of a beautiful fabric, a large caftan, and it had a turban of the same lovely fabric. It had feathers and a belt made up with bones. All you could see when I wore this were my eyes, practically Burka-like. Why did I love this costume? It was me, someone I would never be, not African, not a princess, alas. And cannibal was just too retro and off-color and weird and wonderful to play, to pretend. Whatever part of me was a cannibal princess, I was not afraid. I was proud. I did not hide it, but put it out there, laughed at it, and it lost its power. Now, I know that after this sermon, some of you are going to ask me, where's the African princess costume, and why didn't you wear it this year? Moth and rust doth corrupted it. And it had to be retired, alas. Halloween gives voice to the not just the beautiful and the safe and respectable, but like the gospel, it provokes surprise. It provokes the surprise of divine reversal, like when you give a party and you don't invite the people in your own zip code, but invite to the dinner the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame, and you are repaid at the resurrection of the righteous, and you'll also have more fun. At Halloween, we put form to our fears and shape to all that of which we are ashamed. For in Christ, there is no shame or fear. Halloween allows us to pretend and to play, secure in our abiding in Christ and our identity as children of God. Now I have to add a somber footnote here, because the divide between prayerfulness and real wickedness can be crossed at Halloween. In my child, it was the specter of evil grown-ups hiding razor blades in apples. And today, it is college students who take advantage of Halloween to run amok with racist images and administrators who crack down with costume codes. But the exceptions and extremes are all the more reason for Christians to affirm and live out the gospel at Halloween. One more story. On my block in Hyde Park, there lived a single man of about my age, Britton. He was a bit of a recluse, and he was befriended by my neighbor, Ray, and his wife, Jan. He had an antique blue truck, his pride and joy, although it barely could drive. As they became better and better friends, Ray and Jan, who love Halloween, gradually persuaded Britton to participate in small ways in the delight of the season. First, one pumpkin on the porch. Then the next year, perhaps, carving the pumpkin. Then, after a couple more years and a closer friendship, they persuaded Britton to string lights on the blue truck, decorating it as a character on Halloween. 2 years ago, Britton died suddenly. Ray discovered him when he went over for a chat. We gathered to grieve him at Ray and Jan's house. No religion in particular, just human connection and love. On this Saturday night, Frank and I were on our way home from walking the dog and passed Ray and Jan's house. There, parked in their driveway, was Britton's truck, which he had given to Ray and Jan in his will. There in the driveway was Britton's truck with a string of lights sparkling on the grill. And inside, on the driver's seat, lit from within, a skeleton with his bony hands on the steering wheel. Hooray! That brilliant truck, an emblem of memory, of humor and fearlessness, of life and joy and love. In sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the dead, let us embrace Halloween today. For at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every knee of Medusa and Kurt Cobain and African cannibal princesses. Thanks be to God.